Tough bank earnings show the recovery doesn't have a lot of bounce.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Bank of America today posted a bigger-than-expected loss in its second quarter thanks to an expensive mortgage-backed security settlement and some bad loans. The biggest U.S. bank by assets said it lost about $9 billion in the quarter. Meanwhile, the nation's biggest investment bank, Goldman Sachs, reported a profit of more than $1 billion. What do these numbers say about the state of the American financial market? Marketplace's John Dimsdale is with us live from Washington with the latest on that. Morning, John.
Good morning, Steve.
So what are these profit reports telling us?
That despite all the stimulus measures, all the cheap money that the Fed's been throwing at banks to loosen their lending, this four-year-old subprime mortgage crisis is still weighing down the industry. It's the largest quarterly loss in Bank of America's history. Just a year ago, it was posting a $3 billion profit. Most of the bank's red ink this time is due to an $8.5 billion settlement with investors who bought sour mortgage bonds from the bank.
And what about Goldman Sachs, the titan of investment banks, John?
So better than Bank of America, but worse than many analysts had expected. Goldman, too, is stuck with these bad mortgages. The other drag on Goldman's bottom line comes from new regulations. Standard & Poor's banking analyst Christopher Maimon says banks are being asked to set aside more money to insure against future losses, but that comes at a cost.
The higher the minimum level of capital required for these banks, the less capital they have to invest. And so that ultimately may prove to be a drag on the sustainability of Goldman's earnings.
Plus, there's new evidence that banks are still mired in the mortgage mess. Local governments are reporting that they're still seeing these robo-signing of mortgage paperwork, signatures that prove loans and foreclosure documents are being processed without any scrutiny by the bank. So these problems are going to continue.
All right. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reporting from Washington. John, thanks.
My pleasure.
Meanwhile, today in the UK, News Corporation CEO Rupert Murdoch will face tough questions from the British Parliament in a little more than an hour. Half an hour, I should say. The latest in a phone hacking scandal that's seen a criminal investigation, high-level resignations, and the News of the World tabloid newspaper shut down. Now, Murdoch is Australian. He built News Corp into the media empire it is today, spanning numerous continents and TV networks and newspapers. Reporter Stuart Cohen is with us now from Sydney, Australia, with a profile. Hi, Stu.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
So how important is today's parliamentary testimony to the future of News Corporation?
It could be a key day for the CEO, Rupert Murdoch himself. There are reports that, depending on the testimony, Murdoch may be replaced as CEO of the company that he built from scratch from his home in Australia.
How did Murdoch get to where he is now, Stu?
Well, he inherited a small newspaper from his father in 1953, which also gave him control of News Limited, a publishing company which had been around since before the Great Depression. He spent the next few years acquiring smaller newspapers around Australia, mostly tabloids, and even founded the country's first national newspaper, The Australian. From Australia, he expanded into the UK when he bought the tabloid we've all learned so much about the past couple weeks, The News of the World, in 1968. And then in the 70s, he expanded to the US.
And, of course, his empire now is quite vast, right?
Yeah, well, while his newspaper operations have been catching a lot of headlines the past couple weeks, Murdoch's company is truly a multimedia company. In fact, they're the third largest media conglomerate after Time Warner and Disney. News Corporation in the U.S. obviously owns the Wall Street Journal and Fox News. The company also owns a satellite TV company based in Hong Kong. And then back here in Australia, the original News Limited now owns a whopping 70% of Australia's newspapers, and they even have a few subsidiaries operating throughout the Caribbean.
Stuart Cohen reporting from Sydney, Australia. Stuart, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. World shares are mostly higher at the moment. Book chain Borders is expected to start liquidating today. The company was supposed to be auctioned off, but no buyers stepped forward. Borders could be in the history section by the end of September. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 94 points to close at 12,385.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
Today, the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers will start airing radio commercials attacking the Obama administration's plans for higher fuel efficiency standards. The industry accepted an earlier increase in those standards, but as Sally Herships reports now, some carmakers say the new hike goes way too far.
2 years ago, the administration and carmakers agreed to new CAFE standards, which regulate fuel efficiency in cars. The goal? Slightly more than 35 miles per gallon.
That standard has been agreed to. Everyone's in agreement. That is on the books, so to speak.
Bill Visnick is an analyst at Edmunds.com. But the Obama administration is reportedly working on a new standard, 56 miles per gallon, and that's got car makers warning about job losses across seven states.
Well, the car makers are upset on a variety of fronts. So first of all, we don't know how doable that is.
Jay Barron is president of the Center for Automotive Research. He says cars that get 56 miles per gallon would run consumers an extra $7,000 per car.
And if cars are priced higher than they are now, you will lower demand.
But supporters of the higher standards say car manufacturers should invest in fuel-efficient technology now to offset higher gas prices in the future. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally, there's a contentious lawsuit over cupcakes, specifically the sweet bits on top of them. Candace Nelson, who owns a chain of cupcake shops called Sprinkles, is suing a Connecticut store called Pink Sprinkles. The suit demands Pink Sprinkles stop using Sprinkles in its name, saying, quote, the resulting confusion will damage Sprinkles and injure its reputation. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
More than 70 television shows are going to screen their stuff at Comic-Con in San Diego this coming weekend, the big comic convention. And it's not just sci-fi programs fighting for a piece of the pie.
There's something about the nerd fan that you don't get with other fans.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Trekkies and Gleeks unite next time on Marketplace. We'll have the day's business news as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.